Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. Today, we are going to be looking at an article that is posted on an official website, the LDS Newsroom. It's an article titled, Mormonism 101, FAQ, or Frequently Asked Questions.
Before we go any further, Bill, a lot of people might think, oh, Mormonism 101, that's a book that Bill and Eric wrote in 2000 with Baker Books. It's a fine book and everything else. However, this is not a response to us. They're just using that same title.
No, they're just using the same title, exactly. So there is no connection to us. However, this is an article that no doubt, as we can tell from the contents, was written purposely to be a guide for journalists, a kind of a warning, if you will, but also kind of an explanation that I don't know, you get the impression that they're kind of chiding the journalists because they're not doing a very good job. It sounds like they're complaining about how they are touted in the media.
Well, yes, and the language there is very much that way. And just having it be Mormonism 101, here's our fundamentals, it's almost kind of a degrading thing, I think, to tell journalists, here, get this right. Here are the basics.
Mm-hmm. We want to go through the introduction on this because we see that it's very telling. It starts off by merely saying, members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints can be found at every level of society, in business and charity, education and the sciences, political parties and government, the entertainment industry and news media. Describing the character of Latter-day Saints, Newsweek magazine wrote, no matter where Mormons live, they find themselves part of a network of mutual concern. In Mormon theology, everyone is a minister of a kind. Everyone is empowered in some way to do good to others and to have good done unto them. It is a 21st century covenant of caring. This caring is not limited to church members alone, but extends far beyond. Then it goes on to say, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the fourth largest Christian church in America. More than half of its 14 million members live outside the United States. Yet, despite the faith's growth and presence, survey results continue to show that relatively few people are familiar with Mormon beliefs. Now, I find that statement intriguing because if there was any religion in the modern world that has been studied, it is the Mormon Church. There are probably more books, more articles, more journal papers dedicated to the doctrines and history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints than many, many others. And yet, I would agree that there probably are a lot of people who really don't pay attention to religious issues if having a microphone shoved in their face on the street and asked, well, what do Mormons believe? There probably are going to be quite a few who really don't understand it. What is the underlying problem for this? Is it just they don't really care? Of course, that's all changing now because we have a Mormon candidate running for president. Or is it just that the Mormon Church is not very good at giving an explanation as to what they believe?
Well, how many people have told you, Bill, that when you tell them what Mormon leaders have taught, they say you can't know Mormonism because you're not a Latter-day Saint? It's almost like this esoteric background. You have to somehow be one to understand one. And I disagree with that completely, because if you have to do that, then I guess I can't know that drugs are wrong because I've never done drugs, and so on and so forth.
Well, as I've often explained, when Mormons will use that as an approach to me, I will say, well, if Mormonism is really that esoteric, it can't be Christian, because Christianity is not that esoteric. Christianity is pretty simple. It's not that we don't have a deep theology. We certainly do, but we're talking about basics here, and this is what they're complaining about. Remember, the title of this is Mormonism 101, Frequently Asked Questions. The next paragraph says, as an institution, the church, speaking of the LDS church, has the responsibility to publicly and clearly articulate its official teachings. In turn, reporters can help inform the public by accurately reporting on these doctrines. But in doing so, journalists should be aware of some common pitfalls. For instance, reporters pressed for time tend to take peripheral aspects of the faith and place them front and center as if they were vital tenets of belief. Additionally, sincere commentators often overemphasize what others see as, quote, different about Latter-day Saints at the expense of highlighting the church's most fundamental doctrines in their reporting. Unfortunately, as many members attest, this kind of journalism paints a distorted picture of the church and continues to confuse the public. Notice who's being blamed, Eric, in this paragraph. It's the journalist. It can't be the doctrine. It can't be the way it's being explained by members of the church. It's the journalist. Somehow these professional journalists are not very professional because they have deadlines and they do sloppy reporting. That's the impression that I'm getting out of this paragraph. How about you?
Well, yeah, and the thing is, the church has tried to counteract this by coming out in recent few years, I Am a Mormon campaign, and they're trying to show how normal, and they're skateboarders, they're surfers, they're postmen, you know, and they tell their little story.
And even Mormons have been critical of that campaign, saying it really doesn't paint an accurate picture of who the membership is all about. So what do you do with that? So there is a lot of confusion out there. But let me go through this very quickly, because he says, reporters pressed for time tend to take peripheral aspects of the faith and place them front and center as if they were vital tenets of belief. I've read a lot of articles on Mormonism by secular journalists, and granted, some of them don't always get it 100% accurate. They might miss a term or two, but still, they do basically get it right, and I don't see them really highlighting, for instance, that Mormons still practice polygamy today as it was practiced in the 19th century. I don't see them doing that.
Well, and from my research, I find more positive pieces done on Mormons than negative pieces by a far stretch. I have one Latter-day Saint who continually writes me every week and gives me links to articles, and he says, they love us, and you know, not critical at all. They're talking to missionaries. They're talking to other members. And it's a very positive spin, I see.
Is it really the journalist's fault, especially when you have a BYU professor by the name of James Faulkner who gave a talk called Why a Mormon Won't Drink Coffee But Might Have a Coke? The Atheological Character of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is from a talk he gave on March 19th, 2003. He says, it is a matter of curiosity to many and an annoyance to some that it is sometimes difficult to get definitive answers from members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to what seem like straightforward questions, questions of the form, why do you believe or do X? So he is explaining that there is a problem, and he understands there is a frustration, and you and I have experienced that frustration. Well, we find that this has been exhibited in a recent interview by John Sweeney of the British Broadcasting Corporation when he talked to Mormon Apostle Jeffrey Holland. We're going to play for you that interview, and then we're going to briefly critique it afterwards. So this is John Sweeney talking to Jeffrey Holland, asking about the faith of Mitt Romney, and asking if Romney was involved in taking these oaths of secrecy regarding the temple ceremony.
Let's talk about Mitt Romney.
Okay.
The man who may well become the most powerful man on earth.
Mm-hmm.
As a Mormon in the temple, I've been told, he would have sworn an oath to say that he would not pass on what happens in the temple, lest he slit his throat. Is that true?
That's not true. That's not true. We do not have penalties in the temple.
You used to?
We used to.
Therefore, he swore an oath saying, I will not tell anyone about the secrets here, lest I slit my throat.
Well, the vow that was made was regarding the ordinance of the temple.
It sounds Masonic, sir. It sounds Masonic.
Well, it's comparable. It's similar to a Masonic relationship.
The most powerful man in the world has sworn an oath, which he meant at the time, whatever it is now, that he must not tell anyone about what he's seen, lest he slit his throat.
That he would not tell anyone about his personal pledge to the Lord.
Now let's dissect what we've heard here. The reporter asks, let's talk about Mitt Romney, the man who may well become the most powerful man on earth. As a Mormon in the temple, I've been told he would have sworn an oath to say that he would not pass on what happens in the temple, lest he slit his throat. Is that true?
And Bill, let me ask you that question. Is that true?
It is true. Romney went on his mission in 1966, I believe, which means he would have had to go through and received his endowments in the temple before he leaves. That was not changed until 1990, so he would have had to take an obligation of secrecy, that's what it was called, under the first token of the Aaronic priesthood and the second token of the Aaronic priesthood, as well as the first token of the Melchizedek priesthood. They all would have heard the words, the obligation of secrecy. So any Latter-day Saint who says that it's just sacred, not secret, who has been through the temple ceremony before 1990, is not being totally truthful. So here is an example of that. But what does Jeffrey Holland say immediately?
That's not true. That's not true. We do not, present tense, have penalties in the temple.
And they don't presently have penalties in the temple. But that wasn't the statement or the question
right.
that was asked by Sweeney. So here we find that even Jeffrey Holland is not being absolutely clear with this journalist who is asking him questions. And then he goes on to say, at the end, when Sweeney says, the most potentially the most powerful man in the world has sworn an oath, which he meant at the time, whatever it is now, that he must not tell anyone about what he's seen, lest he slit his throat. And Holland said that he would not tell anyone about his personal pledge to the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Now, again, that's not actually true.
No.
Most Mormons know that when they take this oath of secrecy, as what it is, they don't talk about the temple at all.
Anything at all.
So here is one of the difficulties that journalists have and how Christians have when trying to get answers to some of the questions that they may have about the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow, or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.